Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 21st day of December 2019, and it really does feel like winter, too. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and I guess that wraps up week one of America with a K, the new Banana Republic. And as the week draws to a close, not only is the Constitution nowhere to be found, but neither is any trace of sanity. Nutcase Nancy is still holding up the articles of impeachment. She doesn't want them to go to the Senate, in spite of the fact that, oh, just a few days ago, they were in the biggest all-fire hurry you ever heard in order to get this impeachment done, because Trump is such an existential threat to all their beautiful wickedness. Now, something else to remember, back when we had a constitution, the Senate made its own rules, and Nancy didn't have anything to say about it. But now she wants to throw a temper tantrum because all of these senators, well, because some of them are white, they must be bigots, sexist, racist, homophobes, Islamophobes, and every kind of politically correct phobe you can think of. You know what, folks? It almost looks like all they really wanted to do was impeach the guy, and then never really actually have a trial, because they've known all along if they can't get their blackmail in order before they send this thing over to the Senate, he'll be acquitted. Even though Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham already seem to be on board as far as making sure no actual evidence comes out that might show the American public what the deep state's really been up to all along. And if all of that wasn't enough to raise eyebrows, the shiftless one last night went on with one of the most corrupt so-called journalists in America, Rachel Maddow, on the network that might be called Make Sure Nobody Becomes Cognizant. They're, of course, still pushing the same tired old debunked lies, but with a new twist. The shiftless one announced that he has new evidence. And yes, guess who's next going to be impeached? And guess who's in line after that? Vice President Mike Pence. And gee, maybe that's what they want to wait for. Because why settle for one when you can get two and make darn sure the Republic is dead, stick a fork in it? And besides, after Thursday night's snooze fest of a debate between the socialist dictator wannabes, even the speaker for the traitors, at least so far as the waystream Democrats are concerned, is starting to look almost sane by comparison. Very much left-leaning, but at least rational Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz, in an op-ed for Newsmax, called out the Speaker for the Traitors' attempt to delay the Senate trial as, quote, unconstitutional, especially since he suggests it might be until the Senate agreed to change their rules, or presumably until a new election put many more Democrats in the Senate, unquote. And by the way, folks, he didn't say it, but others have actually suggested they might be trying to set up another anti-constitutional Hail Mary to declare the 2020 election invalid if the semi-impeached Trump tries to run for re-election. It's difficult, he wrote, to imagine anything more unconstitutional, more violative of the intention of the framers, more of a denial of basic due process and civil liberties, more unfair to the president, and more likely to increase the current divisiveness among the American people, unquote, he said. And of course, we all know that is indeed exactly part of the game plan. Put bluntly, concluded Dershowitz, it's hard to imagine a worse idea put forward by good people, unquote. And of course, good people isn't what we're dealing with here. But when it comes to bad people, this is arguably satanic, even if a bit transparent. Now, what's even funnier is that another Harvard Law professor, Noah Feldman, penned his own op-ed agreeing that the transmittal of impeachment articles is a crucial act in the process as defined by that oh-so-neglected Constitution thing. But until that happens, technically, he said, Trump hasn't even been impeached. So the indefinite delay they're talking about would, quote, pose a serious problem. Impeachment as contemplated by the Constitution, said Feldman, does not consist merely of the vote by the House, but of the process of sending the articles to the Senate for trial. Both parts are necessary to make an impeachment under the Constitution. The House must actually send the articles and send managers to the Senate to prosecute the impeachment, and the Senate must actually hold a trial. So technically, if the House doesn't communicate its impeachment to the Senate, well, basically, he said, it doesn't exist. It hasn't actually impeached the president. So Trump could legitimately claim that he wasn't truly impeached at all, unquote. And you'd hope that would light a fire under some of these traitors anyway. And on this score, folks, it really is interesting to see how the rest of the world views the new banana republic. The Daily Mail headline is illustrative. It says, Donald Trump demands immediate trial and says Nancy Pelosi won't send impeachment articles to the Senate because she fears Adam Schiffless and the Bidens could all be forced to testify, as Mitch McConnell declares a rules impasse with Chuckie Schumer. Now, buried within the headlines here is a certain amount of humor, even though the Daily Mail doesn't point it out explicitly. In that case, Nancy blasted Senate leader Mitch McConnell for saying he's not, get this, an impartial juror, for all the obvious politically correct reasons, and she declared she won't hand him the baton without a pledge of fairness, which is not only the typical over-the-top level of hypocrisy we've come to expect from her, but has also prompted at least a few observers to say, hey, how about all those senators that are running for president against Trump? They're probably not impartial jurors either, so why don't they recuse themselves? Oops. When it comes to recapping the big events of the death of the Constitutional Republic and birth of the banana one, maybe we better start with Nancy Pelosi marching to the House microphone in a funereal black dress. How apropos. She stood next to a cardboard American flag and recited the Pledge of Allegiance. But that hardly even budged the hypocrisy meter on the day. The New York Post's Michael Goodwin wrote this. They resembled grade B actors performing for the cameras. Their rehearsed references to oaths, prayers, the founding fathers, the rule of law, checks and balances, and the Constitution itself, all sounding contrived. Rather, he said, than reflecting actual gravitas, though, the words were trotted out to create the appearance of it. Unquote. And if that was the intent, they fell very short. A couple of brief cases in point here. I'd intended to do more, but I just couldn't stomach it. So buckle up and brace yourself. You'll see what I mean. Starting, of course, with the speaker for the traitors.
We in Congress, Article 1, the legislative branch.
And here, she looks over to her left and smiles, like she's proud and deserves a cookie because she managed to get that in.
Article 1, the legislative branch, must stand up and make clear to the American people and to all people that this body still stands by the principles enshrined in the Constitution and defended by generations of Americans.
Most of whom are now rolling over in their graves.
Last week, in observance of the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, members traveled to that hallowed ground to express our gratitude to the heroes of freedom who sacrificed everything to secure victory of freedom over tyranny, not just for America, but for the world.
Where the process of spitting on their graves and desecrating that for which so many of them fought and died had only just begun. I kid you not, folks. People ought to be infuriated. Those who've actually read the Constitution, read the Declaration of Independence, and know what this country once represented should be infuriated by what these traitors are doing to it. In an interview after the desecration, the ignorant Pramila Jayapal from Washington, who clearly doesn't have a clue what form of government we were once supposed to have, demonstrated her ignorance over and over again and tried to justify her oath-breaking by saying this.
I think that we haven't had to fight very hard for our democracy recently. I think that people think that it just sustains itself on its own. But the reality is the Constitution is the protective tissue that allows us to have a democracy.
What a blithering idiot, as your host has pointed out for years now, and as the Constitution makes clear over and over and over again by erecting all kinds of bulwarks against what the founders call the devil's own government, or two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. That thin tissue, as she calls it, and obviously that's what it's been reduced to as they finish ripping it away, was designed to prevent the tyranny of a democracy.
But the reality is the Constitution is the protective tissue that allows us to have a democracy, and we have to fight for this democracy just like the revolutionaries did on the battlefield.
It's idiocy like this, folks, being prattled by people who put their hand on a Bible that they could care less about and lie about a Constitution that they've never read, that make it so obvious what Ben Franklin was warning about when he was asked, "What form of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin?" And hopefully, although she doesn't, you do know his response, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it."
We have to fight. If we think this democracy is worth it, if we are proud of who we are as a country, then we have to fight for it.
And I guess, contrary to idiocy like that, if we're ashamed of what this once nation of law, now of not even men anymore, has become, and how the Constitution isn't even so much as George W. Bush's GD piece of paper anymore, or even tissue paper now, we'd better, at the very least, learn not to keep silent. Better still, as the founders did, withdraw consent from a form of government that has become foreign to our Constitution and laws. But there was certainly no shortage of similar ignorance among the Bolshevik revolutionary wannabes.
United we can defend our democracy from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Divided we risk losing our democracy.
This is the oath-breaking Cicilline from Rhode Island.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the articles of impeachment against Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States. Mr. Speaker, no one runs for Congress to impeach a president.
What a liar! Does he actually think anybody believes that? Ask Mad Maxine how many like her there are. Yeah, the Jihad Squad certainly has other communist agendas, but they're in addition too, after they get that particular impediment out of the way.
But this president has left us no choice.
Yeah, just who does he think he is, trying to abuse power like he was a privileged part of the deep state? And this goes beyond fast and furious and undermining the nation's national security with a few tens of thousand emails, regime change and the Ukraine gravy train, or even holding up USAID to get a foreign prosecutor fired so that you could cover up bribery and nepotism.
And this wasn't an attack on Vice President Biden. This was an attack on our democracy. And if we do not hold the president accountable today, we will no longer live in a democracy. We will live in a dictatorship where any future president will be free to abuse their office in order to get reelected.
Which is, of course, exactly the point. And I guess that makes the point. The much-banned Mike Adams at naturalnews.com was even more blunt, but it's not anything we haven't thought about. Open war, he wrote, on the American people has just been declared by the Democrats in the Politburo, notice I'm changing that word already, with a 228-member vote to impeach President Donald J. Trump over fabricated thought crimes, supported, of course, by absolutely no actual evidence. Said Representative Tom McClintock yesterday, "This is a stunning abuse of power and a shameless travesty of justice that will stain the reputations of those responsible for generations to come." Our Bill of Rights, he said, guarantees every American the right to confront their accuser, to call witnesses in their defense, to be protected from hearsay, and to defend these rights in court. The Democrats have trampled all of them in their stampede to impeach. Now, in fairness, folks, as the Wicked Witch of the West pointed out in The Wizard of Oz,
these things must be done delicately.
And we got here gradually, one step at a time. The Constitution became a roach motel 150 years ago when states were denied the right to exit based on breach of contract. That was followed up by the end of biblical honest weights and measures and the corresponding constitutional requirement that our money be based specifically on gold and silver coin. And while it took a while, any semblance of honest money as a basis for currency in these formerly free United States has been gone now for decades. The war on the First and Second Amendments began in earnest during the so-called New Deal, went into warp drive during the 60s after the televised assassination and subsequent cover-up of a sitting American president, and a wooden stake was put through the heart of the Fourth Amendment after a couple of the most disgustingly misnamed and anti-constitutional acts in U.S. history. First, the Anti-Terror Act, followed up, as you might have expected, by the Patriot Act, which brought Soviet-style star chamber courts and the end of the need for actual warrants to the burgeoning banana republic. Poor old Tricky Dick Nixon couldn't even get away with using the IRS for his enemies list. But once Obama and the deep state no longer needed any stinking warrants and the potential for abuse was obvious, it's now been made pretty well undeniable that the peaceful transfer of power on Inauguration Day every 4 years had come to an end. The gloves have been off for a while, but yesterday the hammer was dropped. There were at least a few bright spots, a couple of representatives that actually remembered their oaths and seemed to have read the Constitution as well as American history. One of them, from the 3rd District of Louisiana, Representative Clay Higgins, who spoke like an actual representative on the House floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have descended into the belly of the beast. I have witnessed the terror within, and I rise committed to oppose the insidious forces which threaten our republic. America is being severely injured by this betrayal, by this unjust and weaponized impeachment brought upon us by the same socialists who threaten unborn life in the womb, who threaten First Amendment rights of conservatives, who threaten Second Amendment protections of every American patriot and who have long ago determined that they would organize and conspire to overthrow President Trump. We don't face this horror because the Democrats have all of a sudden become constitutionalists. We're not being devoured from within because of some surreal assertion of the socialists' newfound love for the very flag that they trod upon. We face this horror because of this map.
And here, folks, he points to a map of the United States, literally on a precinct level, showing what percentage of the land area of the formerly free republics is red as opposed to blue, meaning they voted for the president currently under attack. And notice, even there, they get the colors backwards. Meaning the country as a whole isn't nearly as Bolshevik red as the deep state and its captive media would have you believe.
We face this horror because of this map. This is what the Democrats fear. They fear the true will of we, the people. They are deep establishment, D.C. They fear. They call this Republican map flyover country. They call us deplorables. They fear our faith. They fear our strength. They fear our unity. They fear our vote.
He doesn't say it here. It's, of course, way too not PC, but it's true. They fear our guns.
And they fear our president. We will never surrender our nation to career establishment D.C. politicians and bureaucrats. Our republic shall survive this threat from within. American patriots shall prevail. Mr. Speaker, I yield.
If they're going to prevail, they had better get off of their you-know-whats and start acting like people who still value freedom and the rule of law, while they still can. Because as of yesterday, it's undeniable that time draws very short. I started off today by saying that this is Banana Republic U.S. Day 1. There's no longer even a pretense of a rule of law, certainly when it comes to the House of Representatives. Wait a minute, full stop. House of what? Other than a few bright, shiny exceptions, like I just mentioned, that word representatives is now nothing more than a cruel joke. House of whoredoms, perhaps. Hypocrisy, without question. I used the term Politburo earlier. That certainly comes closer. But one thing's for sure, folks. People that put their hand on a Bible and lie can no longer claim to be representatives of anything, especially not a constitutional republic. They're liars, and the truth is not in them. And I'm going to disdain, from this point forward, even the term House of Representatives, because it's almost as big of a lie as what those open, unapologetic traitors have now done to the Constitution. And I'm going to turn again to one of those founders that these people truly hate and would have silenced had they had the opportunity, Samuel Adams, for what certainly should be the quote of the day. Hopefully you've heard it, but if not, this is a day to remedy that. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude greater than the animating contest for freedom, go home from us in peace. We seek not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chain set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Unquote. He was arguably talking to mere cowards, folks, people that lack strength of character, as opposed to outright traitors, like we're clearly seeing exposed today. And the obvious difference is that they will not go home from us in peace. They intend to destroy us. They've already undermined the rule of law. They come but to kill and destroy. But as I was confirming that quote online, I saw a couple of others there that actually really resonated today as well. Among other things, the firebrand Sam Adams said, "If ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men, and as Isaiah the prophet warned, even worse women, shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin." And there's this warning, for which it's arguably already too late. Quote, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties, nor can any be easily subdued, when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink under their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." Unquote. And wow. This, folks, really is the People's Republic of New America with a K, 19 December 2019. As you might expect, Ministry of Truth House organs like the WAPO celebrated.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Mary Impeach Moss said a celebratory tweet from the bastion of journalistic integrity. CNN tried to pretend it was a solemn day, but couldn't keep a straight face. But when it comes to the destruction of the rule of law and what the socialists have on tap, it looks like they're still barely just underway. Fox News reported last night that the speaker for the traitors is now actually threatening to hold up those articles of impeachment. Yes, we've impeached him, but you're not going to be allowed to look at the evidence or even talk about it until we say so, because we want to approve the Senate rules. Are you kidding me? No, unfortunately.
We have legislation approved by the Rules Committee that will enable us to decide how we will send over the articles of impeachment. We're not sending it tonight because it's difficult to determine who the managers would be until we see the arena in which we will be participating.
The arena is called the United States Senate, you lying traitor. Some are suggesting, probably with more than a little bit of evidence, more evidence than it took to impeach the president anyway, that the real goal here, imagine this, is an outright constitutional crisis. Is it just possible that they're afraid the Republicans might call people like Schiff for brains or Hunter Biden actually before the Senate and actually allow them to be interrogated and actually allow evidence of what the president was really looking into to be presented, not just to the Senate, they already know, but to the American people? Well, things like that are certainly among the issues that have been covered up for all of this time. So no wonder they intend to hold up, maybe until the election is over. That way they can claim, even if he wins by a landslide, hey, it was tainted, and we're not going to acknowledge his second term any more than we did the first. But wait, well, at least the traitors may still have Lindsey Graham on their team, or is he too much of a sellout to count on for either side? Joe Hoft at the Gateway Pundit reports that the senator from South Carolina told Sean Hannity he would call in corrupt liar Adam Schiffless to testify before the U.S. Senate on his sham impeachment proceedings. Well, as everybody knows, Lindsey Graham is a big talker, but they point out he has no real desire to discover the truth. And that, folks, is no doubt closer to the truth than the line of BS the South Carolina sellout has been selling. So listen to this, and let's play the 80-20 rule game. Guess which part is the 80% truth? He told America's newsroom, quote, "I don't want to give Ed," meaning the bogus impeachment, "any legitimacy because it's a crock," unquote. And that part at least is true. But the problem is he wants to cover up just what a crock it is. ASAP. This week, though, Senator Lindsey Graham told Maria Bartiromo he will end the impeachment process, quote, "as soon as possible." In other words, before the American people find out what a real scam they've been subjected to. And certainly before any crimes he may have been complicit in or helped to cover up could actually be revealed along with them. Lindsey will not, at least now we're being told, investigate the Schiffless liar, or Eric Sharamella, 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 or the Biden crime family, or the Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election, and so on and so forth, because he seems determined to hide the truth from the American public. And on Wednesday, he again defied the president and vowed to protect the Democrats and their deep state operatives, according to the Washington Examiner and conservative Treehouse, quote, "Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham said he will not support calling any witnesses in the upcoming impeachment trial against the president, that is, if it ever gets to the Senate, including witnesses Trump wants to summon." Wait a minute. Did you get that? The president of the United States has been impeached. He wants to try to set the record straight. And who is this guy to say, "Oh, no, I know better than you do"? Answer: he's been part of the problem all along. As Joe Hoft reminds us, in late 2016, after the presidential election, Senators Graham, the late scumbag McCain, and Klobuchar visited the Ukraine and met with President Poroshenko, Obama's corrupt puppet in their version of the White House. McCain bragged about it at the time, and note this was the same time that the deep state and Comey's FBI was spying on President Trump and preparing their continuing coup. Just maybe, suggests the rest of the story. Like Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the entire Obama regime, and yeah, some of the most corrupt leadership in the Republican Party, they all knew more than they still want to have the American people realize. Said the shiftiest rhino in the Senate, quote, "I'm going to tell the president no to his witnesses' request because I think what is best for the country is to get this behind us as soon as possible." And gee, folks, it's a bit late for that now, don't you think? Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And I guess it's important to remember at this point there was earlier news in the week before the United States went completely banana republic, even though the big lie and cover-up theme certainly permeates all of that. So let's take a look further back, more or less chronologically, starting with a woman who still thinks she's entitled to be king and knows she's above the law. Hillary Clinton, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit, has a lot of nerve and absolutely no shame. Well, gee, tell us something we don't know. In her latest effort to remain relevant, now, your host will suggest, like it or not, folks, she is positioning herself with the power base and the deep state connections to be the socialist nominee again in 2020, and this time with the help of the big tech Ministry of Propaganda, they'll make darn sure they don't let a mere election stand in the way. And let's not forget, the nutcase Nancy impeachment holdup drama hasn't played out yet either. Anyway, says the Gateway Pundit, she's joined the left-wing chorus demanding impeachment at any cost, and has actually said, well, let's just read the tweet, because you ain't going to believe it otherwise, unless you've been following her, in which case, yeah, you probably will. In the process of promoting protest by left-wing and probably you can guess who funded it, activist group called Indivisible, which is holding events today to pressure what it laughably calls lawmakers into supporting impeach, 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 Clinton actually tweeted, quote, "In America, no one is above the law." Well, sick, right? Because that was obviously a typo. She meant no one else is above the law. Join at Indivisible Team at events around the country this Tuesday, continue the wannabe Fuhrer, to demand your representatives fulfill their constitutional oaths to hold the president accountable.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Unquote. And you knew that was coming, didn't you? Good grief. This is about as asinine as hearing quotes from Jeffrey Dahmer talking about the sanctity of human life. Or for that matter, Governor Blackface, Northam of Virginia. Or yeah, Hitler yourself. Now it does bear repeating, of course, here that this is the same megalomaniac who has been widely quoted, multiple sources, multiple times, as having said, when it comes to a rematch of the election of 2016, quote, "Obviously, I can beat him again." And I'm going to suggest, folks, that she was never talking about the election or even the popular vote, even arguably rigged as it was. She's speaking what I've come to refer to as the Clintonian truth and what we're in fact seeing play out today. The election, so far as the left was concerned, was never over come January of 2017. And it won't be over until it's overturned by any means necessary. That's what she meant by "I can beat him again." Now, at this point, I do have to note there were some nice responses via Twitter, probably the people have already been banned, to her absolutely Hitlerian big lie kind of tweet, "In America, no one is above the law," many of which took the form, "Yeah, except for you and your family," with lots and lots of lists of various unindicted Clinton crimes. And we're talking real crimes here, as opposed to the kind of things duly elected presidents who rock the deep state boat get impeached for trying to expose. Yeah, except for you and your family, things like cattle futures, remember that? Troopergate, Whitewater, Travelgate, the sale of the Lincoln bedroom, Filegate, Rose Law Firm documents. Oh, let's not forget Vince Foster, Janet Reno, the execution of a church full of people in Waco, Texas, and all kinds of other cover-ups of law enforcement misconduct. About Filegate, Clinton Foundation scandals, too numerous to enumerate. The Clinton pardons, remember Mark Rich and actual bribery? And even though the press doesn't like to talk about it, remember how they stole literally everything that wasn't nailed down and looted the White House as they finally left? The secret servers, virtual dead drops, and the real undermining of real American national security, including evidently sales of high-tech military secrets to America's enemies. And let's not forget Uranium One, which really did involve sales of nuclear weapons materials to the Russia, Russians. And thank you to Bob Mueller for his continued work, not only executing, but covering up that one. The Benghazi murders and cover-up, and of course, the latest FBI, we don't need no stinking warrants, plural, scandals. So let's hear the quote again, without the sick this time. In America, no one else is above the law. Which takes us directly to Whopper number 2 du jour, but really we should say Clintonian Truth number 2, because if you listen carefully, you'll see it's right there. Disgraced FBI Director James Comey says Infowars.com let something slip during his Fox News Sunday interview with host Chris Wallace, when he basically let slip that far more important mistakes were made at the FBI under his watch than the disastrous FISA abuses that he's already been caught for and that were laid out in the Inspector General's scathing but unindicting report. Comey's stunning admission, it says, came after host Chris Wallace asked the following. If you were still there and all of this came out and it turned out it happened on your watch, would you resign? How's that for one of those obvious are you kidding me questions? Said the disgraced former whoremeister, no, I don't think so. There were mistakes I consider more consequential than this during my tenure, and the important thing is to be transparent about it. Yeah, like for 2 years, lying about it and covering it up by all means necessary until you can't prevent it from coming out. Let me try this again. There were mistakes I consider more consequential than this during my tenure, and the important thing is to be transparent about it, and then look to fix it, and explain to the American people how you fixed it. Well, he sure did fix it, didn't he? And some of us would say the fix is still in. So, notes the report here, in an attempt to downplay the significance of the IG's FISA report about their criminal treasonous activities, Comey instead accidentally admitted that the FBI committed potentially worse offenses while he was still director of that disgraced so-called law enforcement institution. And guess what? Wallace didn't seem to notice, much less follow up, about what mistakes Comey considered more consequential than the attempt to overthrow the republic that's already been exposed. Now here, folks, just to make that clear, I need to tease a story that we'll come back to if we have time today, if not sometime at least, before the impeach movement gets to its final climax. In addition to literally decades of outright treason and an attempt to undermine the Constitution, what else are the far-left Bolsheviks, Democrats, and in fact a whole lot of rhinos who are equally culpable in the deep state really trying to hide? Well, at least part of the answer comes through investigative work by Rudy Giuliani, now being revealed. The real story, says Mike Adams' summary, among a number of alternative sources soon intended to be banned by big tech, is that the Democrats are rushing impeachment to obstruct a whole bunch of bombshell investigations into billions of dollars in money laundering, extortion, and kickbacks that were run through Ukraine, funneling cash to their own pockets, not just that of creepy Joe Biden and his still so far unindicted criminal cokehead son Hunter, but a bunch of others, you can probably guess the names, into their own pockets through an elaborate network of shell companies and corporate fronts. But like I just said, we'll come back to that, because the real issue here isn't so much why a whole bunch of people should be wearing orange jumpsuits instead of sitting in Congress violating their oaths or enjoying their bribery book tours. It's whether or not America with a K will finish the job and finally succumb to what we might have to call the Virginia Plan for starting Civil War 2.0. Because up until this point, at least, the Obama Plan, the Hitler Plan, and the Schiff Plan seem to have all fallen short on that score. And before I go to these next few stories, I do have to reiterate what I've been saying for quite a while now. The only thing I can imagine that would be more horrifying than the possibility of America entering into Civil War 2.0 and the kind of bloodshed and carnage that is inevitably the result is the horrifying likelihood that it could succumb to a Bolshevik Revolution 2.0 and descend the rest of the way into a Maoist, Stalinist-type state with a whimper rather than the way real Americans once stood up to tyranny. So a quick recap on that score. For years now, since at least Ferguson outside St. Louis, we've seen attempts to try to get those first shots fired for Civil War 2.0 via the hate-mongering and race-baiting masquerading as political correctness. We've seen the unrelenting, outright, and continuing war on anything and everything, even remotely connected to the God of the Bible and His Word. We've seen the escalation of false flags in gun-free killing zones, and that's just part of the war on the Bill of Rights. We've seen the violence, the real violence of so-called anti-fascists, yeah, sure, that are ultimately outright fascist and brown shirt to the core, in spite of the historic ignorance of their followers. We've seen a lock her up, lock him up, and lock them up that's now gone over 2 years and counting, without so much as a single orange jumpsuit in sight, except on some of the good guys. And now we're seeing another entirely predictable move to finish off the election rigging that they didn't quite get right in November 2016. Will the far left finally succeed in their obvious goal of finally getting those who can actually read the Constitution to fire the first shots? Or will the deplorables actually decide to exercise what's left of their right to freedom of assembly and freedom of speech while they still have some of it? There are those folks who will decry when libertarians, constitutionalists, Christians, and other Bible believers finally decide they've had enough and stand up to speak, to withdraw their consent from a criminally corrupt government, and even, as the founders who did the same thing once put it, to declare the causes which impel them to the separation before they resort to that fourth box in an almost formerly free society, the cartridge box. And that, folks, is why the Virginia beta tests are so important. While they still have other options, even if those other options seem downright uncivil. And here, folks, I have to give kudos to talk show host and reporter Owen Schroyer, who works for Alex Jones and the Infowars.com group, who actually broke with congressional protocol, horror of horrors, and stood up to call crooked Congress critter Jerome Nadler exactly what he is in those bogus impeachment hearings last week. For his trouble, he got thrown out, but the video of the encounter rapidly went viral, and a lot of Americans seem to have awakened to the fact that we're past the point of politeness when it comes to treason being executed along with the intended Americans right before their very eyes. No, Owen Schroyer certainly didn't hit anybody over the head with a bike lock and a sock like Antifa's been doing unprovoked for literally years now. But he did hit Americans, at least those who were paying attention, with a great big dose of reality right between the eyes. The time for politeness is over. And if we don't wake up soon, the time for any kind of speech will be over before Americans even realize that they've lost it. Your host saw and reported on, and indeed participated against, unconstitutional restrictions on free speech in the People's Republic of Denver, Colorado, almost 2 decades ago. Back then, they took the form of barricades with a sign on them that said, First Amendment Zone. Yes, behind this barrier, you little peons, you can actually speak to each other, of course. The media's not going to be anywhere close, and we're not going to allow the speech to escape this nicely barricaded little zone here. But if you're not nice, neither will you. Well, they've moved far beyond that now. It's more subtle, it's more pervasive, from shadow bans to gulag, but the cone of silence isn't quite yet complete, and they're working on the First and Second Amendments basically simultaneously. So what am I leading up to? Well, several stories, like this one from the Daily Caller. Trump supporters erupt at a Democrat so-called representative, yeah, sure, named Slotkin, in a town hall in her district after she came out in favor of the coup. Slotkin, the story says, who was allegedly undecided on impeachment until Monday, after taking the weekend to make up her mind on how she would vote, says she's come to the conclusion, or it's been given to her, that she will vote to impeach the duly elected president after reviewing the 2 bogus articles of impeachment already passed by the so-called Judiciary Committee, which prompted a group of finally truly awakened, as opposed to woke, Americans. The press calls them supporters of President Donald Trump, but it could just be they've read the Constitution, or even that they're just sick and tired of outright criminals running the show, showed up at the Michigan Democrats' town hall to protest her decision, loudly as it turns out, to say the hell with her oath of office, and all of you people too. Tweeted one Michigander, they've had enough, and they vowed that her support for overturning the Republic will be the end of her political career. While Democrats certainly seem intent on impeaching the president, with or without evidence, it's clear, says the Daily Caller, that not all members of what was once the Democrat Party are on board. There are a number of lawmakers that are in question. The Daily Caller, they say, contacted the offices of all 31 House Democrats from districts that Trump won in 2016, asking them if they would vote for impeachment, as many have not yet publicly stated where they stand. Each office has been contacted, they note, at least 3 times. All of them were given ample time to respond, And Slotkin's office was just one of the many that didn't bother to respond to multiple inquiries. But this comes as a group of House Democrats are reportedly at least considering the possibility of censuring the president instead of going along with the asinine impeachment. Now, I do have to admit here, folks, I think that's kind of funny. How do they try to make that claim and save face? Okay, well, we know we can't impeach because there's no actual crime here, unless you count the ones that our guys have been getting away with for a long time. So, bottom line, we censor you because how dare you think you can actually expose the real crimes of your wannabe masters? A group of about 10 Democrat members of Congress, including New Jersey Representative Josh Gottheimer, Oregon Representative Kurt Schrader, New York's Anthony Brindisi, and Utah's Ben McAdams, are all reported to be open to a censure resolution of Trump instead of impeachment, according to Politico. Speaker for the traitors, Nancy Pelosi, told gullible reporters last Thursday that the Democrats won't be telling others how to vote, and that she's not trying to convince anyone to vote in a certain way, at least not while anybody's watching. Behind closed doors is clearly another story.
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
The point here, folks, is that arm twisting has been a part of politics since time immemorial. But we've gone way beyond that. This is no longer about arm twisting, or even the blackmail that's become the hallmark of the deep state. This is about whether America dies even before the 2020 election. So yeah, there's more good news on that front too. Because a Glendale town hall event in the People's Republic of California, hosted by none other than one of the most traitorous scumbags in the entire deep state swamp, the beady-eyed shiftless one that runs the House Intelligence Sit Committee, became less than civil on Saturday, according to Zero Hedge, after hecklers accused the criminally evil House Intelligence Committee chairman of, in fact, exactly what he's been doing, of treason and of being a liar, according to none other than the Los Angeles Times. Maybe the Times needs to reiterate that they didn't get the memo. They can call you deplorables and all kinds of other nasty, incendiary terms, and you can't say anything, especially what it is that they're actually doing right before your eyes. That would be uncivil, and grounds for not only impeachment, but for taking away the rest of your once God-given rights. Around a dozen Trump supporters said the coverage attended the event, allegedly to discuss the House's belated, finally, recognition of the Armenian genocide. But scattered throughout the audience, the protesters began yelling, "Liar!" at the de facto ringleader of the House Bolshevik efforts to impeach President Trump, and after some aggressive shushing from leftists in the venue, the audience members yelling at the shiftless one removed their jackets, revealing pro-Trump shirts. One of them even said, "You should go to f***ing jail, and you will be going to jail for treason. That man is a f***ing liar," shouted another. And the outburst, noted Zero Hedge, lasted for around 15 minutes before the event was able to continue. Three Glendale police officers were present, and no arrests or injuries were reported. Which also suggests that the protesters here, very much unlike Antifa, did things right. It does not suggest, however, and be aware of this, that the likes of an Adam Schiffless won't continue to escalate the attacks and teach those deplorables just who's boss. So on then to the elephant in the room. So far as the deep state swamp is concerned, there are still too many armed deplorables out there, and some of them even too close to the district of criminals for comfort. Over the last few days, there have been a startling number of reports about Governor Blackface and the other traitors in the Virginia House of Delegates, who are threatening to even call out the National Guard to complete their gun confiscation scheme if necessary. One of the oath breakers, Jerry Conley, who actually masquerades as a U.S. Congress critter, went even further than Governor Blackface, pushing for the prosecution of police officers that refuse to enforce unconstitutional laws, saying, quote, "I would hope they either resign in good conscience because they cannot uphold the law which they're sworn to uphold." Wait a minute. Has he ever read his own oath? It's the Constitution, you blithering idiot, that these people swore to uphold. You should try looking at it. Anyway, he said they, not he, should be prosecuted for failure to fulfill their oath. Get this. The law is the law. Well, unless it's not the law, right, Jerry? If that becomes the law, you don't have a choice. Not if you're a sworn officer of the law. Unquote. And he makes Forrest Gump look like a genius.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Mrs. Blue.
I guess.
So on next, then, to a piece from Gregory Hoyt at LawEnforcementToday.com entitled, It Begins. Still referring to Virginia, of course. Earlier in the week, he says, we reported on how lawmakers, sick, over in Virginia, were threatening to use the National Guard if members of local law enforcement refused to enforce so-called laws, somebody's read Amger, passed in the state that they felt violated the Second Amendment. And it looks like Tazewell County, among others, isn't going down without a fight. Now, as of the weekend, folks, I've seen stories saying about 90% so far, or 85 out of Virginia's 95 counties, have decided to stick with the Constitution, rather than whatever it is that's replaced it, and voted to become Second Amendment sanctuaries. But Tazewell County's taken the next step. In addition to calling themselves a Second Amendment sanctuary county, they're also crafting a militia as well. Because on December 10th, the Board of Supervisors passed two different resolutions in light of the controversy circling those who would disarm Virginians. The first, not surprisingly, declared them to be a Second Amendment sanctuary. And the second item on the agenda, passed unanimously, was a proposition establishing a militia in the county to stick up for their God-given, once constitutionally protected, Second Amendment rights. So as it turned out, both resolutions passed not by a small margin, but unanimously, with more than 200 citizens attending, standing in support. Board Chairman Travis Hackworth said people have persisted to press for the district to declare itself a Second Amendment sanctuary, and he went on to state that there were three attorneys on the Board of Supervisors, and many of the declarations made by other counties were closely checked by those three attorneys to ensure that nothing important would either be glossed over or left out of theirs. From the ability to remove funding for any law enforcement department that might infringe the right of citizens there to keep and bear arms, to attempts to evict public officials for actually trying to keep their oaths. And Council Administrator Eric Young said they considered the National Guard threat too, adding that's why they looked into the militia option, saying, quote, our position is that Article 1, Section 13 of the Constitution of Virginia reserves the right to order militia to the localities. Therefore, counties, not the state, determine what types of arms may be carried in their territory and by whom. So, we are ordering the militia by making sure everyone can own a weapon, unquote. And it seems they didn't overlook the State House tyrants via the downright Stalinist SB 64 trying to outlaw personal defense training either. And they're pushing back on all fronts, so that if the state tries to remove the sheriff or other elected officials from their office because they honor their oath instead of blatantly unconstitutional so-called laws, those traitors would confront a citizenry full of a lawful militia composed of trained citizens within it. The new county ordinance calls for concealed weapons training for residents of the county that can lawfully own a gun. They've also called for schools to adopt firearms safety training programs. Ooh, that's got a sting. And they're pushing on every front to ramp up safety and training. So yeah, intelligent, concerned Virginians are pushing back, but no doubt about it, there's a powder keg there. And as we've seen, the swamp has no scruples when it comes to false flags, so Virginians beware. What seems obvious is that there's one, maybe a couple of beta tests already in progress. Obviously, and Virginia's a good one for this, when gun confiscation, or its registration precursor, is passed, what will the voluntary compliance rates be, and how bad will they have to make the threats to raise them? And the same thing goes for sheriffs and county officials. How serious will they be about their oaths when not only their livelihoods, but families are threatened as well? And don't think for a second the deep state doesn't know well how that game is played. Dave Hodges, among others, continues to suggest that impeachment is just part of the plan to destroy what's left of the American Republic. Expect an escalation of the Antifa, Move On, Black Lives Matter, and of course MS-13 and ISIS terrorist movements within America, with of course more calls for gun confiscation and an escalation of attempts to provoke that confrontation. And don't forget for a minute that there's an economic meltdown underway as well, and lots of enemies from without, including China, already poised to keep on infiltrating the United States via the open, porous southern borders. But as Cicero pointed out, the bigger danger is traitors within, like the deep state, the intelligence community, the FBI, and maybe I repeat myself, and Congress. So ultimately, folks, I find myself shaking my head and asking, can the attack on the rule of law actually get any more brazen? And will people actually ever wake up to the true level of perfidy, or is it already too late? The prophet Isaiah actually nailed it when he spoke for the creator of the universe and said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.